Support for WPR comes from Ministry Healthcare, known in the Stanley area as Ministry Our Lady of Victory Hospital, and in Marshfield as Ministry St. Joseph's Children's Hospital. Ministry Healthcare, knowing and treating you better. Online at ministryhealth.org.
Well, fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. I'm Glenn Moberg, and you are listening to a special combined broadcast of Wisconsin Public Radio's Route 51 and the West Side for an election forum featuring both of the candidates on the Democratic primary recall ballot in the 29th State Senate District. Assemblywoman Donna Seidel of Wausau and activist James Buckley of Antigo. Today's program is being heard all across North Central and West Central Wisconsin on 91.9 FM Wausau, 930 AM Stevens Point, 90.3 FM Park Falls, 89.1 FM Coloma, 88.3 FM Menominee Eau Claire, and 88.7 FM River Falls. Here in our studio, Donna Seidel is currently serving her fourth term in the State Assembly as the Assistant Democratic Leader. She served 16 years as the Clerk of Courts in Marathon County, and prior to that, served as a City of Wausau police officer and as an investigator in the District Attorney's Office. Seidel announced as a candidate for the State Senate in the recall election against Republican Pam Galloway, who dropped out of the race and was replaced on the ballot by Republican Assemblyman Jerry Petruski of Marathon. Joining us by telephone, James Buckley of Antigo, who announced he would run against Seidel as a Democrat in the 29th State Senate race. It is his first attempt at elected office. His candidacy ensured that there would be a primary election May 8th in the district with a general recall election on June 5th. So welcome to Route 51 and the West Side, James Buckley and Donna Seidel. And we will be taking questions and comments from our listeners live on the air at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. The lines are open right now if you'd like to get in line. I'll try to get as many of the phone calls in as we can this hour. But first, I do have a couple of questions myself for each of the candidates, and particularly a follow-up to some comments that were made on Ben Maron's ad issue program on Monday. James Buckley, how are you doing today?
Just fine.
So we're going to start with Jim Buckley and then move on to Donna Seidel. Mr. Buckley, you've been described as a fake Democrat candidate or a protest candidate. You took issue with that on Mr. Maron's show on Monday. But isn't it true that you are running at the request of the Republican Party in order to ensure that there is a Democratic primary May 8th and then the general election on June 5th?
That is correct.
But yet you don't consider yourself to be a Republican.
I've never been a member of any political party. I've never been a Republican, never been a Democrat, never signed up for any party. I'm independent as hell.
And you said on at issue that, hang on here just a second. We've got a little bit of a technical problem, which I am fixing. Donna Seidel, can you hear us now?
I can hear
okay.
You both. Thank you.
Let me catch my drift again. You said on that issue that you were urged to run by a former mayor of Antigo. Who was that person?
One of the former mayors here in town.
You don't want to identify him by name?
Mike Munson.
Mike Munson. Is he a Republican?
Oh, definitely.
And isn't it true that you worked on last year's state Senate campaign in the 12th district helping Kim Simek, who is also a Republican candidate?
I help any good candidate that I deem the best for the job.
Well, did you vote for Kim Simek, the Republican, or the Democrat Jim Holprin in that election?
Well, my voting is my personal choice and decision.
Did you vote for Republican Scott Walker or Democrat Tom Barrett in the gubernatorial race?
My voting record is mine.
So you're not going to tell us how you voted, but yet you don't consider yourself to be a Republican, even though you did work on Republican campaigns.
I will always vote for the best candidate. I'm independent, and I make my own decisions. I don't have to be told how to vote.
Okay. And isn't it true that you don't even live in the 29th State Senate District? Some people who do live in the district don't think that's quite kosher.
Well, it's lawful, and that's all that matters.
On Ben Maron's show, you linked the Democratic Party to George Soros, who you said, wanted to form a one-world government, and you also said Donna Seidel, because she's a Democrat, was part of that George Soros-led machine. So we're sure that we've got your quotes right. I'm going to play that exchange with Ben Marins on Monday and then ask you to elaborate on it.
Maybe I'm a Democrat of Harry Truman, not of George Soros, the one that has hijacked the Democratic Party and has perverted everything about what Democrat used to mean. He is a world globalist. He wants a one-world government, and we Americans do not want that. We want our free markets. We want our capitalistic system, and we don't want any of his Nazi communist socialism.
And then Ben Marins followed up with this exchange with you.
Well, I'm not connected to George Soros and his evil organization. And that's who has taken over the Democratic Party. And
are you trying to tell the audience that Donna Seidel is working for George Soros?
She's part of that machine, the Democratic machine. If you've ever listened to Debbie Blabbermouth Schultz, you'll see what I mean.
James Buckley, do you really believe that Donna Seidel is right here? Are you willing to tell her to her face that she's part of a machine led by George Soros to form a communist, Nazi, socialist, one-world government?
That is what the express purpose of all the funded organizations by George Soros, liberal organizations in this country. We Are Wisconsin, I received a letter from their attorney trying to intimidate me from running for this Senate seat. And his tentacles reach out into all of the liberal organizations, Media Matters, MoveOn.org, American Center for Progress, led by John Podesta. All these organizations are liberal organizations that are intending to collapse our capitalistic system and to set up a one-world government by doing so.
And do you really feel, sir, that Donna Seidel, as a Democrat running in the 29th State Senate District, is part of that?
I see why not. You wouldn't be a member of the Democratic Party of America, the DNC, if you weren't supporting those ideals and those goals.
Donna Seidel, do you want to talk to Mr. Buckley about...
Well, I thank you, Glenn. I'm disappointed that I haven't met Jim Buckley till now. You'd think with a name on the Democratic ballot with me in this district, Jim would be someone I have already known. That is not the case. Jim, the claims you are making are very difficult to even respond to. And in fact, I find them quite absurd. I have not worked with, nor have I ever met, Mr. Soros or have been involved with his organization. I'm running for the 29th State Senate because we have problems here that I believe I can solve. I have lived and worked in this community for the past 40 years. I understand what my friends and my neighbors throughout this district care about, what they value, what they feel is important, and they know that I share those priorities. So when I have an opportunity to meet with new people, what we talk about is how, in fact, do we grow jobs right here in Wisconsin? Let's not just talk about it. Let's do it. And let's make sure that all of our young people have equal opportunities to a good education, both until they graduate from high school and post-secondary, so that they can be part of the skilled workforce they need. And people talk to me an awful lot about being able to get their hands on health care they can afford for themselves and their families. That's what I'm talking to people about throughout the district.
Jim Buckley, what are your priorities for the district? We've just heard Donna Seidel list hers.
I want jobs for Americans in America, and Donna Seidel just voted against the mining bill. I guess she has environmental concerns. We have a capable DNR to assure our environment to be protected, and to vote down a jobs bill of that magnitude with a private company funding over $1.5 billion to get the project up and running, this is the worst thing you can do for jobs in Wisconsin. You're either politically motivated to destroy jobs so that Walker's record will not look as good, or you have some other sinister idea. But we need jobs in Wisconsin now and in our country, and the Democrats nationally have voted down the Keystone Pipeline, and all these are jobs that we need here in America. And the Democrats are destroying our job base.
Okay.
And they're basically promoting a welfare state by doing that.
We've got the platforms, I think, of both of the candidates here. But, Jim Buckley, I do want to follow up on one more thing. Here's another clip from that Ben Maron show that day in which you described the leader of the AFL-CIO, Richard Trumka, as an avowed communist.
The system has already been perverted by outside forces, union thugs. The head of the AFL-CIO, Richard Trumka, is an avowed communist. And the union money is coming into the state to pervert the system worse than it's ever been perverted.
Now, Mr. Buckley, I have never heard a tape of Richard Trumka saying to the world, I am a communist, which is what you would have to do if you were an avowed communist. Do you have evidence that Richard Trumka has ever said that?
You could do a search on that, and you can find that all over the place.
Well,
you haven't searched.
I did do a search, but I have never found anything where he said that he's a communist.
I've heard it from his own lips.
Well,
and it's a known fact that he is. He's proud of it.
Mr. Buckley,
he meets with the president weekly.
Does
Richard Trumka meets with the president weekly?
Does that make him a communist?
No, that makes him a part of the George Soros machine.
Jim, this is Don. It is really difficult for me to sit back and listen to what sounds to me like ideological diatribe. I think that the listeners throughout this 29th district who have tuned in this afternoon for an opportunity to understand who exactly you are, what you think, and the same about me, so that they can be informed voters when they go to the polls to vote in our primary election, I think we should spend this very, very limited time talking about the problems and the issues facing us here in the 29th district and throughout the state of Wisconsin. I would hope that we could do that.
We will do that. We've got a full hour. But Jim Buckley, to some people who are listening, they would say that the views you're espousing sound pretty extreme. And I'm wondering if any Republican has ever come up to you and said, you know, those views do sound kind of extreme, and we don't think it would be a good idea for you to be running in the 29th State Senate District. Has anybody from the Republican Party ever done that?
I know a lot of people that are informed and that watched the protests down in Madison when Richard Trumka came to the Capitol and talked to the protesters. And if you would review that on YouTube, you could maybe understand what I'm talking about.
Has Jerry Petruski, the Republican running in the 29th State Senate District, or anyone from his campaign, and he said he had nothing to do with your candidacy, but has he ever called you up or someone from his campaign and said, you know, Jim, we don't think someone with your views should be running? Has that ever happened?
Nobody has mentioned anything like that. I've never talked to Jerry. I don't know Jerry. Like I said, I'm an independent. I do my own thinking, and I can look at the information and decide what's going on in our country. And if you look at the presidential executive orders, there's over 100 of them already. And you will find Obama's executive orders authorizes peacetime martial law. When have we ever had a president do that?
But this is a
When
a
have
state
we ever had
Senate
a president
race.
Do that?
This is a state's. I think Abraham Lincoln. Well,
that
was during the Civil War.
During wartime. This I'm talking peacetime.
But my point, Mr. Buckley, is that according to published reports, Scott Fitzgerald and Robin Voss, two of the Republican leaders in the Assembly and Senate, are actually urging Republicans to cross over and vote for you and the other fake Democrats, as they've been called, in the May 8th primary. Donna Seidel, what does that say about the Republican Party of Scott Walker, that they would urge people to vote for a candidate like James Buckley, who says the Democratic Party is trying to establish a one-world government.
Well, it certainly says that the Republicans are willing to stoop to any level in this election. Not only are they asking Republicans to cross over and vote for my protest candidate, Jim Buckley, who does not represent, from anything I have heard, any of Democratic ideals I have lived with and familiar with. But they've also advocated messing around with these elections. People here in the 29th district are disturbed by that. They think it is making a mockery of our electoral process and that this is something that should not be condoned. It's simply a way to delay and confuse a process that ought to be straightforward and allow everybody to, you know, go and vote, have their voices heard without being obstructed by these outrageous tactics.
Do you think Jerry Petruski or his campaign should have called Mr. Buckley and asked him not to run?
Well, I think it's interesting that when Jerry was asked about fake candidates, he told people here in the district that he did not condone the practice. So I was disappointed, as well as many others, that he did not go back to the Republican leadership in Madison and let them know that if they wanted to mess around with elections, that he didn't condone or approve of that here and would discourage that. And that obviously didn't happen.
Well, Donna, we've been really focusing on Jim Buckley here. I want to explore an area with you before we open up to questions from our listeners. You put on a very controversial television commercial on the air criticizing your Republican opponent, Jerry Petruski, for actions that you said he's taken against women. Here's that ad.
I have something to say to you, Jerry Petruski.
I work hard every day.
And you think women shouldn't get paid the same as men?
For doing the same work?
And when it comes to my health, Jerry?
And the lives of my family and friends?
You slashed funding for breast and cervical cancer screenings.
And voted against emergency contraception?
For victims of rape and incest.
I have something to say to you, Jerry Petruski.
Jerry, how could you?
How could you do that to my daughter?
How could you do that to my mother?
How could you do that to us?
Jerry, we expected more from you.
And Donna Seidel, Jerry Petruski is a pretty popular guy. He's been married to the same woman for 38 years. He's got two daughters. Do you really think he's trying to hurt women?
Well, here's what we know. When you are elected to public office, it matters how you vote, not just what you say. Jerry's a nice guy. I think people think I'm a nice person, too. But many of his votes have not been so nice. And at the waning days of this legislative session, when we should have been, in fact, laser-focused on jobs, and we could have been because there were many good ideas from both sides of the aisle, Jerry and his Republican cohorts voted to do just what these women are talking about in this ad. He voted to repeal a law that had been passed 2 years earlier, the Equal Pay Protection Act, a law that was having direct results and showing that here in Wisconsin, where women have been making 78 cents on the dollar, that with the law that we passed, the wage gap in Wisconsin was closing. That rather than being 36 out of 50 in pay equity, Wisconsin was moving up to 24th. That Jerry voted time and time again to deny victims of rape and incest access to emergency contraception in the emergency rooms right after the most heinous kind of criminal assault. And there are votes on Jerry Petruski's record where he had opportunities to support good, high, significant levels of cancer screenings for breast and cervical cancers when he did not make that vote. Votes matter.
Aren't you worried that this kind of a very personal negative attack, especially straight out of the box, it's your first commercial, aren't you worried that's going to backfire on you?
Well, you know, here's what I know, Glenn. I started my career in law enforcement in 1972. I was a cop. I was an investigator in the district attorney's office. And I learned that facts matter. And the fact is that many of Jerry Petruski's votes have been disadvantageous, have not been in the best interest of not only women, but many people in this district. So those things matter more than sometimes what is said when we are back home. The votes taken in Madison matter and should be in line, in step with what's said back in the district, and that's not always the case.
Rebecca Hogan of Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce wrote a column in the Wausau Daily Herald accusing that you and your ad of being misleading. She said, you joined the War on Women chorus by issuing a false ad accusing Petrusky of opposing equal pay for women. The truth is, she says, Act 219 does not take away equal pay. Instead, it repeals a misguided law enacted in 2009 by then-Governor Jim Doyle and supported by you and trial attorneys, which she says for the first time ever, punitive damages on Wisconsin job creators for alleged workplace discrimination could be levied, and businesses could be slapped with punitive damages up to $300,000. She adds that those who wish to seek punitive damages can still do that in federal court under federal law. That's the allegation. Those charges are misleading, and maybe the law should have been repealed.
The law should not have been repealed. It was not a misguided law. The evidence is apparent that women were beginning to make gains in pay equity in Wisconsin. The gap, although still remaining, still substantial, was slowly beginning to narrow. That is a good thing. That people who understand the federal court process know a number of things about it. It is extremely complicated. It is very difficult. It is very expensive, both for the person, the plaintiff, and the defendant. Companies would pay more for that as well. And to put teeth into the law with this, which is what happened with the equal pay protection, was a deterrent for business. Most of our businesses are, of course, well-intentioned, well-meaning, and do the right thing by all their employees. But those that don't were warned that there would be punitive damages, finally, that they would have to account for. And because of that, those that weren't doing right by their female employees did begin to do better, and that was good for women across the state, women who are significant contributors to the economy of our communities as well as their families.
And James Buckley, do you want to weigh in on this ad of Donna Seidel's and what's been called the War on Women?
That's what the Democrats are waging on women, is a war on women, and they're blaming it on the Republicans. Nobody should be limited on wages. The government should not mandate wages. We should have the free market system at play here, and women should maybe be paid more than men if they're doing a better job than men. So the audacity of a Democrat to tell you what wages a person should be paid is ludicrous. It's insane to think that government should be able to dictate to private industry or even unionized industry what their wages should be. They should be determined by market forces and economic conditions.
We're going to take a quick break. We're way behind right now. James Buckley and Donna Seidel, the two candidates running for the 29th State Senate District recall primary election on a special edition of Route 51 and the West Side. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll be back right after this break with your phone calls at 1-800-780-9742.
Support for WPR comes from Rely Local Wausau, working to build the local economy and strengthen the community by making local business everybody's business. Learn more about locally owned and operated businesses at relylocal.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is a special combined broadcast of Route 51 and the West Side Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. It is a primary election forum featuring the two Democrats who are on the ballot on the May 8th primary election, James Buckley of Antigo and also Donna Seidel of Wausau. 1-800-780-9742. There are still spaces if you'd like to call in, and I do want to get to as many phone calls as possible. Let's start with Dan in Wausau. Dan, you're on Route 51 in the West Side. Hello, Dan.
Hello there, sir. I just wanted to ask Mr. Buckley what he figures, what his background is, actually, that makes him a person that would be qualified to hold this position.
James Buckley, that question was directed at you.
I've been a resident of Wisconsin my whole life. I know what's going on in Wisconsin and in the country and the world, and I would be the best selection to fill the position because I would work for the people, not special interests. I would not be a lobbyist for big corporations or unions. I would be for the people only. And I would have that main concern to create a better business climate, because I was a businessman for 30-some years until my kidneys failed me. And my brother gave me a kidney so I could continue living. And I feel that this part of my life would be best spent helping the people, helping my neighbors. And since I have family in the 29th District, I am concerned about them also. And I would do whatever I could to advance real democracy, not totalitarian government coming from Washington or from Madison, but to have the people speak and the people's needs being met.
Excuse me a second, Mr. Buckley. I asked you what your qualifications were, and kind of what I heard out of you was some political flim-flam, I guess is what I'm going to call it.
What do you want to
hear? If I was applying for a job and I put down on my resume just what you said, I don't think I'd have a prayer in you know where of getting hired. So I'm asking you again, what are your qualifications to represent the people of the 29th District? What are your representations? You mentioned that you had a business. What kind of business? And how do you think that you would perform in Madison that would make me want to vote for you? That's all I'm looking for. And if you can give me something that isn't a bunch of political rhetoric, then I guess I've got a reason possibly to vote for you.
All right, Dan, thanks for the phone call. All right, let's let Mr. Buckley respond. Mr. Buckley?
I have always been a common sense person as I approach any situation to make a decision. I take in all the information, and I make the best decision based upon the facts.
What was the business that you were in for 30 years?
I got like a dial tone here.
That's because we just lost the caller. Jim Buckley, what was the business that you were in for 30 years? That's what the caller asked.
I was in the auto repair business, and I worked with many people that couldn't afford the higher prices of the big shops. So I did a lot of work for the average man, the average wage earner, and I even worked for a lot of teachers because they're kind of conservative with their money. And so that reason, I think I've got a very diverse background. I've talked to many people, and I listen and I discuss. And I would be a fair person, and I would be for the good of the whole community, and to make good progress, to develop jobs, and to give the people a voice that needs to be there, not the special interests, because the Democrats have basically become lobbyists for the unions and the big corporations.
Donna Seidel, you're...
Which they say the Republicans are, but really the Democrats are the same.
Donna Seidel, your qualifications for office, you've been in the Assembly now for close to 8 years. You're the assistant... Minority leader.
I was the assistant majority leader the previous session. And prior to coming to the Assembly, I was the clerk of court in Marathon County for 16 years, as well as serving in the district attorney's office as an investigator of sensitive crimes against children and women. And again, as I said earlier, beginning my career as a police officer. But the other thing that really prepared me for this legislative experience to represent the people of this area was the number of opportunities I had to volunteer and serve on boards and with organizations, whether it was the Technical College Board, our United Way Board, the Women's Community Board serving victims of abuse and neglect, and many other opportunities. I got to know what people care about here, how their lives are day to day, what they need from Madison, what they care about, what they expect of their elected representatives. And it isn't always to agree with them, but it is to understand what their daily lives are like, what their struggles are, what they dream for their children and their grandchildren, and how we can hope and work together to get to that point. I feel that I've had all of those years, all of those experiences. I can continue to take them with me and work with all of my colleagues, both sides of the aisle, to do the right thing, because I have said over and over, we have to begin the next session and commit to the people that we represent that good ideas can come from Democrats and Republicans. I've shown that I can do that in the past, and I'll continue to do that in the future, but I have my I understand the people here, who they are, and what they care about.
Assemblywoman Donna Seidel of Wausau and activist James Buckley of Antigo, the two candidates on the Democratic recall election primary ballot in a special forum on Route 51 and the West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Glenn Moberg. We have wide open phone lines if you want to get through and talk to either of the candidates or both of them. 1-800-780-9742. 1-800-780-9742. We'll be back after this.
Support for WPR comes from Northwind Renewable Energy in Stevens Point, partnering with agricultural and commercial industries to invest in central Wisconsin's renewable energy future. More about the benefits of solar for business at northwindre.com. Contributors to WPR include University of Wisconsin Stout, Wisconsin's Polytechnic University, committed to innovative and inspired learning, delivering 63 undergraduate and graduate majors on campus and online. uwstout.edu.
We're back on Route 51 and the West Side Regional Talk Radio with the two candidates for the 29th State Senate District. On the Democratic ballot, Donna Seidel of Wausau and James Buckley of Antigo. 1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to join the conversation. I want to lead this into a direction on economic policy. The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics indicates that Wisconsin lost more jobs than any other state in the nation in the past year, and that it was, in fact, the only state in the nation with, quote, statistically significant job losses. By comparison, Illinois was number three in job creation over the past year, although Illinois' unemployment rate is significantly higher than our state's. Now, the comparison of Wisconsin under Scott Walker and Illinois under Democrat Pat Quinn, their governor, has been in the headlines this week, with Scott Walker talking to the Illinois Chamber of Commerce and saying that they should use his administration as a model for economic growth. Meanwhile, Illinois Governor Pat Quinn points to those latest Department of Labor statistics and says that Walker and his policies are responsible for Wisconsin's job losses over the past year. We're going to listen to short clips from both governors and then have the two candidates respond. Here's Governor Walker last week at the Illinois Chamber of Commerce, and that will be followed by Illinois Governor Pat Quinn last night on MSNBC.
And we passed aggressive changes to help job creators in our state. We lowered the tax burden for job creators for small businesses. We made it more attractive for investors to bring not only business but investment into Wisconsin-based companies into our state. We lowered the overall property tax burden. In fact, we just announced yesterday that the new data shows that in actual, not estimates, property taxes went down for the first time in 12 years in the state of Wisconsin. We did all that right away, because we said Wisconsin couldn't wait. And the good news is it's produced results. In the 3 years before I took office, in 2008, 2009, 2010, Wisconsin lost 150,000 private sector jobs. In fact, at the peak of that, our unemployment rate was well above 9%. Last year, we stabilized things through our reforms, and this year, in the first 2 months of the year alone, we've seen more than 17,000 new jobs created in the private sector. In fact, our unemployment rate is now below 7%. That's the first time since 2008 we're below 7%. Now, I know you know how important that is, because at the same time we're at 6.9, Illinois is still at about the same spot it was last year at 9.1%. Is it any wonder? Because of the choices that were made right here in your state's capital. And that's part of the contrast out there.
That's Governor Walker speaking to the Illinois Chamber of Commerce last week. Here's Governor Pat Quinn of Illinois responding to Governor Walker.
Yeah, Wisconsin's dead last at job growth. Don't listen to Scott Walker if you want to get jobs in your state, and we sure haven't listened to him. We believe in our workers. We have skilled, educated workers. We believe in investing in education. I was just with the UAW, and, you know, when I became governor and President Obama became president, the auto industry needed a helping hand, and we did it in Illinois, and we've done it across our country. In Illinois, we have Chrysler going to have 4,600 jobs this summer building a new Dodge Dart. When we began, they only had 200 jobs. I believe in high-speed rail. We're building high-speed rail from Chicago to St. Louis. And because Scott Walker turned that down in Wisconsin, his predecessor, Jim Doyle, was all for it. We're going to have a route going from Chicago to Milwaukee on to Madison. He turned it down. We got part of their money to put more people to work in Illinois on rail. And a matter of fact, one company, Nippon Shiro, left Wisconsin and came to our state of Illinois to manufacture railway cars. This is the kind of thing you've got to do in the 21st sure. century. You've got to invest in innovation, invest in manufacturing, and not listen to ideologues like Governor Walker.
That's Governor Pat Quinn, a Democrat from Illinois. And before that, we heard from Governor Scott Walker, of course, a Republican from Wisconsin. We want both of our candidates to react to that exchange. Let's start with Donna Seidel.
Well, Glenn, clearly we have seen the results of the policies that have been pushed forward in Wisconsin by Governor Walker, by Jerry Petrosky, and the other Republicans in control. And the results that have been produced are none that we wanted to see. We know that in 2011, when states across the country were beginning to see some economic growth, Wisconsin was one of only six states to lose jobs, and unfortunately was top of that list. So these are failed policies. They have not worked. We must do better, and we can do better. That when almost $1.3 billion in federal money was turned away, turned back, we heard about the fact that that's translating into solid, good-paying jobs in other states. They could have been here. That did include opportunities for building and expanding our infrastructure. It included opportunities for broadband expansion. For us to turn that down was wrong. And I'll tell you, Glenn, I go to the grocery store and people come up to me in tears and say, what can you do to change what is going on in this state? My husband's been out of work for a year and a half. I'm working two jobs. I'm working as hard as I possibly can. These are low-wage jobs. I don't have health insurance. I'm trying to make sure I can take care of my kids. We got to get my husband back to work so he can help with that. We can do better.
James Buckley, Donna Seidel is saying that Scott Walker is to blame for Wisconsin, which has the worst record on jobs, according to the U.S. Department of Labor statistics, in the nation over the past year. Your reaction?
And now to the facts. Moody's downgraded the state of Illinois bond rating in February after Democrat Governor Pat Quinn chose tax increases to address public pension and benefit issues far worse than those Walker has confronted in Wisconsin. And where did those tax increases go? To fund the unfunded union retirement funds. And also in the city of Milwaukee, governed by the Democrat Tom Barrett, they lost their good Moody's investment grade. They were downgraded, and because of that, they will be paying a higher rate of interest for funding. You don't get a Moody's downgrade without earning it, and we can thank Scott Walker for keeping our Moody's rating positive here in Wisconsin.
What then is responsible for all the job losses in the state over the past year? The only state in the nation to have statistically significant job losses.
It's Democrats like Donna Seidel voting down mining bills that create jobs and everything just to make the position of our state worse. And the prices at the stores are a direct result of the Fed printing too much money. You are making the dollar worth less. That drives up the price of everything.
Jim Buckley,
including gas, food, everything that we consume is raised because the Democrats are having a policy to collapse our financial system, which is a direct relation to what George Soros wants to do. He wants to destroy capitalism, and the Democrats have all bought into this scheme.
Donna Seidel, once again, you and George Soros are trying to collapse the economic system and destroy the United States.
I don't know George Soros, nor have I worked with him or his organization. But let's talk numbers. Let's talk numbers, Jim. Here's numbers. These are numbers that matter to people talking to me in the grocery store, in the coffee shop every day. Why is it that after the terrible record Wisconsin had in 2011, just this past month, Wisconsin lost another 4,500 jobs. Those are real people. Those are hardworking people that are really worried about how they are going to take care of their families. Illinois, by the way, Jim, gained 9,000 jobs. And now you have brought up the mining bill a couple of times. I think that that is a great example of legislators having to exhibit an awful lot of responsibility for the well-being of our state. I am not anti-mine. I did not vote against mining in Wisconsin. I voted against a bill that was not ready for prime time, a 22-mile long mine, 4 miles wide and 1,000 feet deep. We ought to be very, very cautious and be very sure when we sign on the dotted line that we are doing the right thing. We can create great paying jobs in an area that needs it and do it while we make sure that people can have their voices heard and our environment can be protected so we do not endanger drinking water and say, well, maybe down the road if there's a little lead or arsenic in the drinking water, we'll just have to deal with it then. I'm not willing to do that. We can get this done. We can be careful. We can be smart and we can be cautious and we can create those jobs the right way.
1-800-780-9742. Let's go to the phone. Samantha in Wausau. You're on Route 51 and the West Side with Donna Seidel and James Buckley.
Hey there. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to talk to Jim Buckley's claim that it was Donna Seidel voting against the mining bill that has created these job losses. I mean, the Republicans have full control of the Assembly, have full control of the Senate, have obviously a Republican governor, and it was Schultz, who was Senator Schultz, who's a Republican, who actually came over and voted against that mining bill that really created the death of that bill as it was written. Donna Seidel spoke to the issues in that bill. I also want to say that I've looked up Jim Buckley's residence in Antigo, and I've gone by there, and for him to claim he's an independent and then put a very large painted sign on the outside of his residence that says, "Vote out Dems, God please save the USA if it's his will," is disingenuous. Thanks a lot.
Jim Buckley, do you really have that sign on in front of your house?
Well, everybody's put it on TV, and I even was written about in the local paper here in Antigo, and that's maybe about the only thing they said was correct in the article. Otherwise, the rest of the article could be considered libelous.
So it's God's will that Democrats get voted out of office.
Well, God does not like liars and those who murder. And abortion certainly is falls in that classification because the guarantees of our Constitution of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is quite curtailed when you're destroyed.
Mr. Buckley, are you lying by claiming that you're a Democrat?
I am a Harry Truman-type Democrat, if that could ever be true today.
Mr. Truman had a 91% top marginal income tax rate during his administration. In fact, that was the cornerstone of his administration and his policies. Does that mean you favor raising the top marginal income tax rate on billionaires to 91%, like your idol Harry Truman did?
Well, Harry Truman was trying to pay off a war debt, and he did a very good job. He didn't keep kicking the can down the road. He dealt with the problem then and there. And so to demagogue somebody for doing their job and balancing the budget, or at least attempting to, you would also
Do you think
in favor of what the Democrats are doing today?
No, no, sir. I'm just asking you a question.
A large debt and not even having a way to pay for it.
Do you think Harry Truman today would favor increasing the top marginal rates on millionaires and billionaires, which the Democrats want to do, since he had a rate of 91% during his administration as a Democrat? Would he want to see that happen today?
Well, the Democrats today would be too afraid to do that because then they'd lose votes. And everything about a Democrat is to buy votes. And they'll spend all kinds of money to indebt our country to buy those votes. And if you have your eyes open today, you'll see that's what they're doing in Washington to try to get reelected now. They're trying to discount the student loans. They're trying to put as many food stamps out there for people to continue on without creating jobs. If they created jobs, they'd solve a lot of their problems. But they don't want jobs because then the economy might get better and the dollar might survive and our capitalistic system would continue. But their whole goal is to destroy capitalism and our way of life and our freedoms.
See?
And all the executive orders that the president has signed are taking away from our freedoms and our rights that the Constitution guaranteed to us. And that's why we need smaller government. We need constitutional government to get back to the people's needs and not the special interests.
James Buckley of Antigo. Mr. Buckley, we've got to take a quick break. We'll be back after this last break with more of your calls and questions on Route 51 and the West Side.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More at umr.com.
1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is a special edition of Route 51 in the West Side with the two candidates running on the Democratic primary recall election ballot in the 29th State Senate, Donna Seidel and James Buckley. Let's go back to the phones. We have Ron in Antigo, who is on Route 51 in the West Side. Hello, Ron.
Hi. Mr. Buckley, at the start of your conversation or campaign, you commented that they're trying to create a communist Nazi socialist government. Now, those three systems are politically opposite of each other, and the World War II was the communists versus the Nazis and all that. I'd like to know how this is going to take place. I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Jim Buckley?
They're all forms of socialism, and socialisms are all totalitarianisms. And when you want a totalitarian government like the federal government is trying to enter every part of your life today, they're even telling farm boys today they can't work on the farm. Their children can't work on the farm. They are extending their tentacles into every part of our life. And that is totalitarian government. That is socialism.
But,
and to get to that point, they have to destroy capitalism. And that's where George Soros comes in. He wants to do this. He wants a one-world government, just like Hitler did, because he started out with Hitler.
Donna Seidel?
Well, at the end of this hour, once again, I'm disappointed that we really didn't have a great opportunity to talk about the real issues impacting the families across the 29th District and discuss what we would do to change what was going on today and solve the problems that are facing our voters. I believe that we will continue to obviously struggle with a shortage of revenues, and we're going to have to make, again, very tough choices in the budget that we will pass next session in the legislature. My priority would not be to give the best advantages, the $2.3 billion over 10 years, to the wealthiest corporations and the richest special interests, but find a way to have, in fact, real shared sacrifice and not take the greatest, largest cuts from public education, from our technical college system, from opportunities to health care, so that we can create a healthy, robust, skilled workforce. I'm sorry that we didn't have more opportunities to talk about what my plans are to see that accomplished in Wisconsin.
Donna Seidel, you're here right now. Give us your plans.
Well, my plans are to advance a number of the job creation bills that we offered the governor in January of 2011 that he even agreed looked very positive to him, and he would advance. He put him on his special sessions call. The Republicans refused to bring them forward. They would incentivize businesses, particularly our small businesses, to hire new workers, give them access to capital to make the critical investments they need to get going. There are a number of other great ideas, once again, that build on successes we have seen in the past that we are very confident could be effective.
James Buckley, you've got the last word.
If you remember, last year the Democrats came out with a budget that was $2 billion over budget. And if you're ever going to balance a budget, and if you're ever going to be fiscally responsible, you need somebody that has run a business, not has been a career politician who knows how to say the right things to the voters, but will make decisions based upon common sense, solving problems without bloviating all day long and saying actually nothing.
Are you accusing Donna Seidel of bloviating?
You heard it, didn't you?
I certainly did. Donna?
I'm offended by that, Jim. I wish we would have discussed real issues that impact real people throughout the 29th District, but apparently you either don't care about those issues or aren't interested in looking at those. But I'm glad people have had an opportunity to get to know you better and understand what my priorities and values are so that they're armed with that information when they go to the polls to vote in this primary on May 8th.
This has been a special primary election forum on Wisconsin Public Radio's Route 51 and the West Side. We want to thank today's guests, the candidates on the Democratic primary recall ballot on the 29th State Senate District, Donna Seidel of Wausau and James Buckley of Antigo. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producers, Rick Ryer and Dean Kallenbach, and our on-air producers, Crystal Bennis and Jane Ritger. Thanks to Rich Kramer for helping produce this show. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Don't forget to vote in the primary on May 8th and the general recall election on June 5th. Next week on Route 51, we feature an hour of conversation with Father Stephen Bryce of St. Anne's Catholic Church of Wausau. Father Bryce is leaving the community, being transferred to another parish after many years of community activism and leadership. And next Thursday at this time, the West Side returns with its normal programming. Thanks again for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin. And until next week, we are heading out of town.